Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Hey, 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 it's Dean Weitzman, and this is Court Radio. You've got the right place, 7 a.m. every Sunday morning. And today, folks, a special guest host. I'm joined with my friend, C.P. Mararkey.
Good morning, listeners. How are you this morning?
All right. I'm doing well, C.P. It's good to see you, buddy. You know, it's a special show when you show up.
Yeah, it means I get up this early, right?
You're an early riser. People your age get up early. It's what happens as you age.
It's what happens when you pass 50.
Okay. You know, folks, I have to do a little housekeeping here. Last week, we had a rerun show. We were away. I don't know if you knew that or not, but we were. And there was a caller who went on and on about a Kevin Trudeau book. And I had a listener who I suppose will go by the acronym LC, who took the time to write me a very nice letter telling me that I gave the caller too much time, that Kevin Trudeau is really a slime ball, and he's failed to pay a $37 million fine, and he's got ridiculous lies in his book. So I will just say this. I will caution you that, you know, whatever you hear from somebody other than me, of course, because I vet my my information carefully, but when a caller promotes a book or something, you should investigate that, you know, and make sure that it's appropriate and it's somebody that you want to give some money to. But this guy seems like he's been in and out of jail and that he's got some issues on truthfulness. But, you know, that's for you to decide. All right. But I do appreciate the listener, LC, who tried to help us kind of get all the facts out as best we can. All right. There you go. Thank you, LC.
I think that goes to show you that your listeners are on the ball, Dean.
I never thought otherwise, CP. You know what? They're amazing. And they're and folks, if you heard the lead into the show today, I want to tell you that for now on, it's real easy. You're going to, if you have a question you want to get answered today, you're going to call 215-227-2727. And if that sounds familiar, that's the number for my Philly lawyer. That's my office number, which we've rerouted to the station every Sunday morning now, so it makes it easy for everybody to remember. One number only. If you got a call, you got a question, call us at 215-227-2727 today, and you'll get right into the studio. 215-227-2727. So, CP, there's some things going on around Philly that we wanted to talk about.
Well, there's things going on around Philly.
Yeah, it's an interesting city. The Eagles are playing today and playing Denver.
Right?
4 o'clock game. They're playing in Denver, right?
In Denver today.
Yeah, Mile High Stadium.
Yep.
What do you say? What if you were a betting man, which I know you're not? What would you do?
What would I do if I were a betting man?
Yeah.
I'd sit back and watch Peyton Manning and not make a bet because I don't think the Eagles are going to fare too well. Now, having said that,
yeah,
they'll probably win today.
Right.
Whoever I like, you go the other way all the time.
Which is why you're not a betting man.
That's why I'm not a betting man.
All right. We got the Philly Firehouse down at the Betsy Ross House in that area. Old City, it burned down. I didn't know firehouses could do that, but there was an ambulance in the bay, and it exploded, and the entire firehouse was engulfed in flames. The firefighters at the time were out doing something. They were out.
I saw that on the news, and by the time a training crew came back to take care of it,
too late.
It had to be closed down.
Yeah.
Terrible.
It's a piece of history from Philadelphia, and according to Joe Shul, I think that's his name, president of the International Association of Firefighters, he said that the cutbacks in 2008 and 2009 left Ladder 2 without a pumper truck. And if they had a pumper truck, they would have been able to save the firehouse.
It's a shame.
I think we should, you know, get raise some money for a pumper truck. You know,
for the next firehouse.
For the next one, right? Not this. The next historic firehouse. What else? We got a judge ruled same-sex marriage in New Jersey is legal, and that the Supreme Court. In New Jersey, will probably visit upon this. This was not a Supreme Court judge, but the Supreme Court will probably visit upon this shortly, and we suspect same-sex marriage in New Jersey will become the rule of law. What do you think about that?
Well, in Superior Court in Jersey is like our common pleas, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
So it will go to an appellate court, and I understand that Christie's people are fighting this tooth and nail, and it eventually will make the Supreme Court of the United States.
Yeah. Well, he says, since the legislature refused to allow people to decide it expeditiously, see, Christie wanted it to be on the ballot this year. Obviously, there wasn't enough time and couldn't get the word out properly, so... that didn't happen, but that was his, you know, I mean, when in doubt, you kind of come up with something like that where you know for sure it can't happen. I mean, and so it's kind of a pointless exercise, but he gives him some cover because it is an election year. So he can say, hey, I wanted it on the ballot, you know, and they refuse to do that. So in the meantime, I'll fight it. 215-227-2727, and calls are coming in already. Well, we're going to talk, you know, we don't normally get into it this early into the process, but we're going to talk about our hot-button topic today, because the hot-button topic, CP, is something which, you know, I've gotten a number of calls already from my accountants, the people who do my benefits. Everybody's talking to me about having... to provide notice to employees about health benefits. Now, my Philly lawyer, provides health benefits to all of our full-time employees. So that's not a problem. We're not giving something that they didn't normally get, but I suppose there's a lot of employers who are now forced to give health benefits to employees. Question is, do they have to pay for it? Does the employees pay for the health benefits? Is it just now that the employer is providing them with a benefit that is really coming out of their pocket? Well, we're going to find that out today when we talk to some experts. But folks, if you've got questions about health benefits or what this all means for you, you can give us a call today at 215-227-2727. I think that you know, this is an important topic, and we've brought in a healthcare advocate for this topic. It is Antoinette Krauss. Good morning, Antoinette. Welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Uh-huh. So what is it you do, Antoinette? Tell us your title. What are your main job?
So I am the executive director of the Pennsylvania Health Access Network, and we are a statewide health coalition made up of over 60 organizations working to make sure that all Pennsylvanians have access to quality, affordable health care.
Is this something that came to pass as a result of this law, or were you around before?
We were actually around before there was any talk of national health care reform.
Okay. So you must have been busy in the last year or so.
Yeah, I mean, we've been out since the passage of the law educating communities about, you know, what the new health care law means for them and what they need to do in just a few short days to make sure they enroll in the new healthcare plan.
And what is it that people are going to get? I mean, if I'm an employee of an employer who did not previously provide healthcare, will I be getting free healthcare?
Well, not exactly. So the way the Affordable Care Act works is it sets up a variety of programs. So for individuals that currently don't have insurance and their employer doesn't offer them insurance, they'll be able to enroll starting Monday in the new health insurance marketplace. And it'll be an easy to use. You can go online, compare health plans easily. If you make between about $11,000 and $45,000 a year as an individual, you'll be eligible for a tax credit to help you provide coverage.
How much?
It depends. So it's based on a sliding scale. So, you know, if you're towards the lower end of the $11,000, you'll get a higher tax credit than someone that's at the higher $45,000 level.
And then will you be covered immediately?
So enrollment starts on October 1st and goes to March 31st. Actual health insurance coverage will not start for folks until January 1.
Okay. So you can get on board starting the 1st of October.
Yes.
But there'll be a 3-month delay until the insurance actually kicks in.
Right. And you'll be able to start enrolling on October 1st. That's the first day. And you can continue enrolling until March 31st.
Okay. And they'll have different plan selections depending on what their needs are?
Yeah. So the great thing about the new health insurance marketplace is that there's a guaranteed set of benefits. So when you go shopping in the new health insurance marketplace, you'll know that you're getting a pretty good plan. It has to cover 10 categories of care, you know, preventative care, maternity care, prescription drugs, mental health, stuff like that. And the other thing to note is that starting on January 1st, 2014, members of Congress and their staff will have to give up their health insurance and go into these health insurance marketplaces.
That's a shame.
Yeah, they had amazing health care as members of Congress. And so now they'll know what it's like to be an ordinary...
One of us.
Yeah, there you go. We have on the line, we have Beverly Macaret. Beverly?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Fine, thank you. This is the Secretary for the Department of Public Welfare of Pennsylvania. How are you? And what is going on your end with this new health care law? What's going to change in the Department of Public Welfare?
Well, there's an awful lot that's going on, and this was an important weekend for us because we had to have our... We are not, for Pennsylvania, going to be running the exchange. However, we have to tie in to the federal exchange. So we wanted to be ready by October 1 so people could come in, just as the last caller talked about. And this is a testing weekend, so to see whether or not everything's connecting and working the way it should work.
Well, explain to the callers who may not understand this whole tie-in thing. What are you tying into? I mean, is there going to be a Medicaid component to the new health care law?
That's a good question. I'd be happy to answer that. The first part, though, is that's important for people to be aware of is whether you support or don't support the Affordable Care Act, there is a part of it that is law today. And that's what we're getting ready for October 1. And Pennsylvania opted to allow the federal government to run the exchange. We are not doing that, but we still have to be connected so that an individual can go into the exchange and they would have Pennsylvania plans to choose from. But also, depending on the income of that person, that person could be kicked down to our Medicaid structure.
Okay.
So yeah, I believe what you asked me then is what are we doing around Medicaid?
Yeah.
We are not expanding traditional Medicaid in Pennsylvania. We have opted not to do that. That was the second part of the Affordable Care Act, and that was the part where the court said every state could make their own decision. So we looked for what made sense for Pennsylvania, and our Medicaid structure is extremely robust. And what that means is we have a heck of a lot of benefits. We actually have a lot of benefits that people don't use. And we have expanded our populations in traditional Medicaid past the most vulnerable people. So we've asked the federal government if they would allow us to reform our current Medicaid structure, to shrink it, to meet the need to only be our most vulnerable, and to reduce the packages and have them be based on what people use and not just out there. We have some benefits nobody's used, and that's just evolved through the many years. I believe the federal government will allow us to do that. The costs for our benefits right now in Medicaid are so high and the federal government, they understand that, and they've seen that as well. So,
what is it? Do you have a number? What's the average cost to provide Medicaid benefits for a recipient?
Well, again, the average cost for the entire program for an individual is about $7,000. Now, that's skewed a bit because you have people who are seniors and people on disabilities who bring up those costs, but that's the average cost, which is about $2,000 higher than individuals in other states. We've got to get that in control. We've got to get that down to where it should be, and that's the reform that the governor has been talking about for many, many months.
Okay.
Once we reform our current structure, then people who do not have health insurance, people from zero to it's really 138% of poverty, we want them to have the opportunity to go through the health exchange, that marketplace everybody's talking about, the health exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have plans on there that look just like everyone else's, the essential benefit packages. So it'll look like a plan that a state employee has.
So a person who is unemployed, who is not in the workforce, they go online and they can pick a plan that anybody else is picking.
Yes. As long as it's, most of them should be the right plan. I haven't seen them all, but it should look like the essential benefit package. And then Pennsylvania has opted to bring back in the federal dollars to pay for that private option for that person.
So what's
now, again, most of these people are working. In fact, the latest estimate shows that the 3 out of 4 are working.
These are 3 out of 4 that are working that their employer does not provide coverage for them.
Yes. So initially our thought was most of these people would not be working. We don't believe that to be the case. They're working. Many are working 2 and 3 jobs. They have no health insurance.
And will their employer be... So then there are some employees who will not necessarily be given health benefits through their employer.
Well, these people don't have them now through their employers, so I don't think it changes anything. Their employer will either keep their, I imagine their, you know, a lot of people that work in the, for instance, hospitality industry do not have health insurance benefits.
And they don't.
And we have a lot of people in Pennsylvania that work in that industry.
Right, and they will not necessarily be provided benefits, especially the part-time employees in the hospitality industry.
I think what we'll see there, and it's unfortunate, is they'll probably cut them back an hour or two so they don't. Many of these people are working 2 and 3 part-time jobs.
Right. They won't get benefits through their employer, even with the new law, but they will be
correct.
Provided benefits through the state.
Exchange. It's not Medicaid.
Not Medicaid.
It is the use of some Medicaid dollars to allow them to purchase a private option.
Okay.
So
and
what,
we would want
what would
them
that cost
to pay
them?
A premium, just like the rest of us do.
Right.
We want them to have a copay for inappropriate use of emergency rooms. And we want them, if they're not working, to be doing a work search.
So let's say we have an average family of 4 people. Both mom and dad are working part-time, have several part-time jobs. They're not getting any benefits. What would it cost that household to get benefits for mom and dad and the 2 kids?
For the children would always qualify for Medicaid. So the children would be covered. And then we have, as part of our Healthy PA rollout, all kids covered. There is no reason that a child in Pennsylvania should not have health insurance. So the kids would be covered. Then you look at the parents. If their salaries are below 138% of poverty, or if their incomes are below that, then if they're healthy, able-bodied, we would tell them to go to the exchange. They would pick out a package that works for them. We've compared that with the state employee packages. They look the same. Those that family, those parents, would possibly have to pay. We're negotiating with the feds how much. It could be, we're proposing right now no more than $35 for a family, two adults in a family a month. Again, whether the federal government says to us, we think that's too high, we want to lower it. Well, again, that's a negotiation point. And so then the federal dollars would assist them so they could buy their private option.
Now, that all has to be worked out and in place before January 1.
No.
No.
It does not. There's no time on it. If we get it worked out and ready to go by January 1, then that starts the 100% reimbursement by the federal government, which is in place for 3 years. And after that, it drops to 90%. We believe that with changes to our existing Medicaid structure, our 10% commitment would be there.
Wow, that's so, that is, I mean, the state gets away, you know, very easily. I mean, you're telling me that you're thinking it's 10% of $7,000 or maybe $5,000. You're hoping
hopefully
to knock it down.
Hopefully it will be down a lot lower. Yeah. Hopefully.
So this, all the Commonwealth has to pay is $500 a family.
Well, there is some other caveats there. There is making sure that for some people there will be transportation. There is making sure that if there's procedures that cost more than the federal government will pay, we'd have to pick up the cost. So it's not, I wish it was as easy. It gets more complicated. But we believe it's a sustainable solution for Pennsylvania. So what we're trying to do is ensure that people have access to quality, affordable health care, but make it financially sustainable long-term for the people of Pennsylvania.
All right.
And we believe this will work to do that.
Beverly, we know you're busy. We thank you for joining Court Radio this morning. And
I hope that helped. It's complicated.
It is complicated. And, I think it did help our listeners. And I want to thank you for joining us and have a great Sunday.
Thank you. And if you need other information, please feel free to call me.
All right.
Thank you. Have a good Sunday.
Bye now. Beverly McAreth from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, the Secretary for the Department of Public Welfare. You know, I think that folks need to hear the number again, 215-227-2727. That's the number to call in to Court Radio every Sunday morning now, 215-227-2727.
I don't know if some of the listeners are as confused as I am. I hope not. But so what is that actually going to cost the family out of their pocket?
Well, we're now joined in the studio also by Court Radio's very own producer, Monica Peters. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me on, which is funny to say that because I'm already here.
Hi, Monica.
So I was not able to hear everything Beverly was saying, but what people need to know, because there's a lot of misinformation given out in the media, and a majority of the public still does not even know that they're entitled to health insurance, whether their governor rejects it or not. So a lot of Pennsylvanians are under the misperception that because Governor Tom Corbett is rejecting $43 billion from the federal government to expand Medicaid, that they're not entitled to the benefits of the Affordable Care Act. So that's very important to realize. Now, what you asked, CP, was a very, very good question. I think I heard Beverly mention $25 a month for a family. Well, this is a problem. If you're low income, let's say if you're a mother, single mother with a child, and you only receive $316 a month in income, $25 is a lot.
It's a big chunk of change out of that.
Yes, and we also have to realize with Governor Tom Corbett's plan that it's going to be administered through private insurers. And that can kind of reek of, is it just politics as usual, looking out for insurance companies and getting money in their pockets?
I believe the figure she mentioned might have been $35 also.
$35, which is still a lot for someone who's low income. Yes, and so we just really have to look at that. Also, with Governor Tom Corbett's plan, this is the biggie where everyone is kind of having an issue with his Health of Pennsylvania plan. There's a work search requirement. So you have to, if you're unemployed, you have to prove that you're looking for work in order to take advantage of the health care.
And so, what about if people, I assume this is going to be over the internet or ads or newspapers, or what happens if they don't have access to it? Are they going to be punished because they don't have access to the internet, or?
Oh, no. You can actually, there's a number you can call, and I'll give that out in a few minutes. There's you can apply online at healthcare.gov, and there's a toll-free number you can call, and there's actually going to be navigators at different centers throughout the city that can help you. You can also log on to cms.gov, and it'll tell you what centers you can go in person and actually have someone sit down with you and go through the enrollment process. And I'll give you that number in a few minutes. I actually called this morning, and it's actually, the toll-free number is open 24/7 in 150 languages. And so they're available to ask questions before October 1st.
So our listeners will have a lot of help for people that don't have access to the internet and such. Okay,
yes.
Great.
And we really need to look at, and this is up to the voters, we really need to look at, the governor really should accept this federal money, the $43 billion that the government is offering to expand Medicaid. Because as it is right now, with this plan, Tom Corbett's plan, it's only going to cover 600,000 people, and with all the restrictions and the conditions. Under Medicaid, if he takes the Medicaid expansion dollars, basically it widens the net of who is eligible for Medicaid. So let's say if I'm uninsured, and if Tom Corbett accepts the Affordable Care Act requirements to expand Medicaid, I will get Medicaid. As of right now, I'm not eligible for Medicaid because I don't meet the requirements. So Corbett's plan is going to leave a lot of people uninsured, and that's something that we kind of need to look at.
Okay. Go on.
Can I jump in for a second?
You
just
may.
On the Medicaid,
I think Antoinette
piece.
Wants to say something.
Antoinette Krause is dying to say something here. Go on, Antoinette.
So we're glad to see Governor Corbett acknowledge that folks need health insurance. You know, we're a little concerned with the way he's going with this program. But, you know, we're talking about January 1st and folks being able to get coverage. Under Governor Corbett's plan, it could take a year or almost 2 years to implement. So we're going to see about 500,000 Pennsylvanians continue to be shut out. And we talk about all the revenue that we'll bring into our state. The longer we delay, the more money we're actually giving back to the federal government.
So, yeah, it seems crazy, even for a Republican. Why would somebody want to give the money back to the federal government that they're offering?
Yeah, I mean, I wish we knew that answer. We've seen, you know, Governor Christie in New Jersey accept the federal funding. They're starting October 1, being able to enroll people in Medicaid expansion. So, you know, three studies have shown that we can bring in, you know, $43.3 billion into our state. We could create 43,000 jobs a year and create $2 billion in economic activity. And we're slow to implement that. And if we don't start January 1st, you know, we're going to lose all of that economic revenue for the first year.
Wow. So, folks, if you're listening to the show and it is complicated and you really have to give it some thought, I would love people to give the governor's office a call and give the secretary... what was her name? Beverly McArath, Secretary of Public Welfare, a call, because they need to know that you want these benefits implemented immediately. I mean, why would the Commonwealth be one of the few states who's handing money back to the federal government just because we don't want to implement the program that they've asked us to implement, when it, A, benefits our citizens, and B, the government is going to pay the federal government 100% for the next 3 years. It's not going to cost Pennsylvanians a nickel. And then even after that, it's going to be 10%. If we wait 2 years to implement it, we're still going to have only 1 year of free benefits, and then we're going to have to pay for it after that. So we are acknowledging we're going to be in a situation where we're paying for benefits in 3 years. Why give up the free money now? It doesn't make any sense. It
sounds like we're going to be behind the rest of the country, too, when it comes to this.
Yeah, it's insane.
Maybe they ought to start calling their state legislators, give them about a half hour when the show's over, and by that time they may be up, some of them. And get the ball rolling. You know, if they hear it from the legislative body, that's an election year coming up, so they're going to...
How is it that some folks qualify for insurance if they're unemployed? Like, what do they have to do? I don't have a job at all. What do I do to get benefits?
So under the current Medicaid program, if you don't hear, you currently really can't get Medicaid benefits. It's really targeted towards a specific population. So under the Affordable Care Act, if we choose to expand Medicaid, the cutoff is just income. So if you're someone making up to $15,000 a year, you would qualify to be able to get health insurance under the Medicaid expansion.
Up to 15, up as to, in 0 to 15.
$0 to $15,000 a year, you would be able to qualify for Medicaid expansion.
Okay. And so how many
you have
more
to pay for that?
It depends on how it's implemented in Pennsylvania. We heard Secretary McGrath talk about a $25 for individual, $35 for a couple. So it just depends on how it rolls out. But I think what's important for folks to know is that on October 1st, if you don't have health insurance, you should go to healthcare.gov and see if you could qualify for, you know, a tax credit in the health insurance marketplace. Or maybe you could currently qualify for Medicaid and you don't realize it.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break and come right back. If you're listening to Court Radio and you have a question, legal or about health care, either one, you'll give us a call at 215-227-2727, where we are all the time for your legal questions. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured in an automobile accident, you know what matters. Being able to afford medical care, providing for your family while you're out of work, knowing your rights and getting just compensation. These things matter. That's why your attorney matters. I'm Dean Weitzman from My Philly Lawyer. If you've been injured in an auto or truck-related accident, My Philly Lawyer will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back to Court Radio. This is our inaugural show with our new telephone number. That's right.
What is that phone number?
That phone number is the My Philly Lawyer phone number all week long when folks have legal issues or problems that they need to talk to somebody about. They call 215-227-2727. But now, even now on Court Radio, they can get us in the studio. The number just follows me around wherever I go.
I knew that number sounded familiar.
Yeah, there you go. 215-227-2727 gets you into the studio where we're talking about healthcare. And I have notes here. We have Renee Amore on the line, CEO of the Amore Group. Good morning, Renee.
Good morning. How are you?
We're fine, thanks. Thanks for joining Court Radio.
Thanks for having me.
What is it that the Amore Group does?
Oh, the Amore Group has several companies under them. One is the Amore Health Systems. I have a background. I'm a registered nurse, also a licensed therapist, and we work in prisons. It's a for-profit company. And then we also have a PR marketing government relations firm in Harrisburg and in D.C. And then we work with kids with disabilities and ex-offenders in our not-for-profit, which is called Ready. So we are out in the community doing a lot of social service issues and programs.
There you go. It sounds like you're a busy woman.
Just a little bit. Not as busy as you.
Well, what's your take on this new health care law? Do you think that it's going to help people get better benefits and at a lesser price?
No, you know what? I'm really, really concerned. And I guess I'm really concerned because I'm a small business owner and been across the country talking about this. Bottom line for me is that small businesses are saying we're going to have to lose people. We're going to have to take one if they're full-time, and maybe if we keep them, give them part-time jobs, because we just can't afford this flipping the script so quickly and the way it is happening. So small businesses really have an issue with this. Some are really willing to take fines, as I've talked to people across the country, and say, look, I'll just take the fine. Other people feel that it's, you know, individual mandate it's intrusive into personal liberty as far as requiring everyone to purchase government-approved health insurance. So people are really, really concerned about that. And that's the biggest issue. And also people need to realize this whole Affordable Care Act, known as Obamacare, it will have probably about $500 billion in new taxes. There are going to be 21 new taxes that are proposed. A lot of those things are going to be taxes targeted to employers. So that's the issue that I'm having as far as in healthcare industry. And so a lot of this also, the taxes may be passed on to the consumer. So a lot of things, Dean, are not really being explained in detail. Those kind of things are pushed over, but employers know what's happening.
So
that's why your people are calling you, because I've been listening all morning as far as your benefit and health care and all those type of things. And we do, and I have over 50 employees, and we do give benefits.
Yeah. I think that the general consensus is, or at least from my perspective, we need to be a country that insures our citizens.
Absolutely.
And people need to have good, affordable health care. And if we have to pay a little bit more in taxes, so be it. I'm okay with that. It's not a dirty word to me. I want to make sure that, you know, people live longer in countries like Canada that has socialized medicine. And I'm not suggesting that we need to have socialized medicine. I want to have the best medicine, but I also want that medicine to be available to everybody. And I don't want people to go without critical health benefits because they can't afford it.
I definitely agree 100%, because I want people to understand that I definitely feel your way as far as people having insurance. Again, I think we have to look at the system a little bit better. I think sometimes we rush into things instead of really looking at the total picture. And again, and, you know, with the employees that I have, and I can't speak with, you know, how many that you have or whatever, but we really have to look at how the small business owners will suffer. Some are talking about just, well, we'll just have to close, or I'll just take the fine. And then the unfortunate thing, a lot of folks are going to lose their job, full-time jobs, and maybe be part-time, or lose their job altogether. So that's not helping as far as the economy. It's really losing out. So I think we have to really be honest about the whole thing, you know, and really look at this picture.
Yeah, I agree. Let's talk to Ms. Smith from the Philly area, who has a question. How are you, dear, and welcome to Court Radio.
Thank you.
What's your question?
My question is, I want to know why it's not important for working people to have health insurance. I applied for health insurance, just health insurance alone. Could not get it because I'm not disabled, I'm not pregnant, but I work.
Right.
But I still couldn't get it. My thing is, it's important for working people to have health insurance so they can continue to work.
I agree with you. You're absolutely correct in my book. Let's hear how some of our guests feel about it. Ms. Smith, thanks for calling Court Radio, and have a great Sunday.
Thank you.
So, go ahead, jump in.
Yeah, I mean, we fully agree. And the way the healthcare law was written, it's really designed to help working folks that have been shot out of the system get health insurance coverage. But one of the things, again, we're concerned with is when the Supreme Court ruled about the Affordable Care Act, it made this Medicaid expansion optional. So Governor Corbett's dragging his feet on it, and that's the very program that's designed to help, you know, working individuals be able to get health insurance coverage.
Also, what I think is ironic about this is that Obama's plan, they call it Obamacare, but this is really elements drafted heavily from Richard Nixon's health care plan. A lot of people kind of forget that. But
Bill Clinton tried like heck to get this passed during his presidency, and he got shot down time and time again.
Yes. And what's very important to know, the difference between the new health care laws that are going to take effect on January 1st, 2014, that health insurance companies can no longer discriminate because of pre-existing conditions. So let me put that in plain English. Let's say if you have HIV/AIDS, you can enroll for health insurance, and insurance companies cannot turn you down because you have AIDS, cancer, diabetes.
Pre-existing
heart
condition.
Everyone has to get health insurance, and they cannot charge you more because you have a health condition. So you cannot be charged a higher premium because you have cancer, HIV, pregnant. Pregnancy will no longer be a pre-existing condition. That's pretty crazy. But, yeah, so.
So if one of our listeners has diabetes and they're taking insulin, and that's a big health concern, they won't be shut out.
Right. They won't be shut out. And also women, under this new law, women policyholders are no longer allowed to be charged more for health insurance than men, because right now women pay higher health insurance
premiums. Just because they're women.
Just because they're women. So that will no longer be allowed to happen as of January 1st, 2014.
But the real deal, okay, and those are some great benefits, but the real deal is, will more people be insured, and will it be more affordable for those people?
Yes. Yes.
That's what you say.
Yes. Yes.
I think it's easy to say yes.
And I guess Internet can pick
up on this, but there's
certain
small business. I think we have to be fair across the board. Yes, as far as that individual, but what happens to businesses that are saying, okay, well, we can't afford it, so, you know, you're not going to have a job. And that's what some folks are saying. Okay, so they'll sign up for their benefits and that kind of stuff, which I think is fine because, again, I want to be clear. Everybody should have insurance, like your caller said, especially working people. But if you don't have a J-O-B, you know, and you have insurance, this is not helping you as far as the whole economical piece when you look at the economy.
So I just want to kind of address the small business piece for a second. So if you're an employer that has 50 or fewer employees, you're exempt from having to offer
your... But I don't, and a lot of small businesses don't.
Right, and I think the key to what's going on here is that we've seen health insurance costs increasing year after year. For the past decade, we've seen health insurance costs skyrocket, and that places a burden on business. So as a nonprofit director, I mean, we're technically a small business, and we've seen our health insurance rates go up and up and up. And under the Affordable Care Act, there's actually a provision that if you have 25 or fewer employees and average wages are $50,000 or less, you get a tax credit to help you afford health insurance. And our nonprofit actually got about $8,000 back last year in a tax credit because we're able to offer our employees insurance. So I think the more that we get folks insured, the lower we'll see costs go, and that will help, you know, small and large business owners alike.
But that's not helping the situation right now. We just got to be clear about that. Okay. And I feel strongly about that.
Okay, and before we get too much into the political back and forth, I just want to give out the national enrollment number that you can actually call right now, and someone is on the line that can answer any of your questions no matter what state that you live in. And that number is 800-318-2596, 800-318-2596. 2596. The line is open 24/7. You will talk to a human, 150 languages. You can ask any questions. And on October 1st, you can also call this same number to actually enroll in healthcare if you don't feel comfortable doing it online or going to your community health center.
And that's the number that people have to call in order to just to become enrolled?
Yes. If they feel more comfortable enrolling over the phone, they can call that number.
Okay. And if they're uninsured, is that the number they call?
Yep. If you're uninsured and you want to get your insurance rocking and rolling to be ready by January 1st, on October 1st, just call that toll-free number.
What's that number again?
Sure. It's 800-318-2596.
So whether you need information or come October the 1st, whether you want to actually enroll,
yep,
that's the same number you call.
That's the number.
Okay.
All right, folks, if you're listening to Court Radio, you have gotten some great information about health care and the upcoming new health care law. We're going to take a quick break, come back in 2 minutes, and answer any questions our listeners have about health care laws or any other legal questions. All you got to do is give us a call at 215-227-2727. We'll be right back.
For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If your child suffered a birth injury, you know what matters. Getting proper medical care, counseling and assistance, knowing your rights, and getting just compensation to provide for your child's future matters. That's why your attorney matters. My Philly Lawyer is ready to fight relentlessly for you and your child. Call 215-227-2727. Choosing the right legal representation is critical to getting the compensation you deserve. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
That's me, Dean Weitzman. And you can get me at 215-227-2727, where we've been talking to some experts on the new health care bill and what it all means. You know, our governor, the governor of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, has rejected the Medicaid portion of the law. The Supreme Court of Pennsylvania allows him, Supreme Court of the United States allowed him to reject that, and he has chosen to reject it. That means that a lot of folks who are at the most vulnerable and most desperate folks who need insurance will not be getting it even under the new law. Now he's talking about implementing something which might help them. But it hasn't come to pass yet, and it might not come to pass in January, and they're not sure how long it'll take. And the critical thing is that for the next 3 years anyway, while they're sorting this all out, if he did accept it, the federal government is going to pay 100% of the cost. So he's rejecting a free ride, in essence, a free ride that was accepted by New Jersey and by Delaware. And so, you know, it seems to me to be really negligent on his part. He's depriving the Commonwealth of free federal funds.
And to put it in perspective, that's $43 billion with a B dollars that he's rejecting. That can go a long way to help a lot of people in this state.
Even his own party, even many of the senators of his own party have asked, implored, have voted for him to accept these funds. By no means are the Republicans a unified force in the rejection of the federal funds. This is really a Corbett-driven decision. And, you know, if you ever were thinking about moving out of the Commonwealth, maybe now's the time. You move to New Jersey, you move to Delaware, you're going to get full health benefits. You know, could you imagine in Africa when they have like the Civil War and you see huge segments of the population moving from one country to another to get to a safer place, where huge segments of Pennsylvania are moving out to Delaware and to New Jersey. How's that going to affect our tax base? You know, it just seems so ridiculous. Why do we always have to have the dumbest politicians in Pennsylvania. Why? Why is it that even, you know, New Jersey is always on the cutting edge of the political scene, and Pennsylvania is always pulling up? You know, we decide to do things after everybody else has done it.
I think it's consistency.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Folks, if you're hearing the frustration in my voice, you can call your governor and demand that he take the federal dollars. 215-227-2727 gets you into the studio. Let's talk to Leslie. Leslie on line three. Hello, Leslie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's NWDC?
I had wanted to find out whether or not there's a stipend or a grant that nonprofit organizations can apply for if they enroll people into the Affordable Health Care Act.
All right. Well, we're going to get you an answer to that.
So the federal government did award money to Pennsylvania. It awarded a little over $2.5 million to five organizations here to help people do in-person consumer assistance. Unfortunately, that period has closed, but there might be funding in future years. So stay tuned and keep your eyes out.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Leslie, thanks for giving us a call. Thanks for calling Court Radio. Yeah, there's no more money right now, no stipends or grants to enroll in the Affordable Care Act. But you never know.
More, what the future will bring.
More money may be around. Let's talk to Marie from King of Prussia. Hi, Marie.
Yes,
welcome hello. Welcome to Court Radio.
Yes, I hear your guest speaking about the first 4 years that they accept the federal plan for Medicaid. I want to know the percentage that's going to have to be paid out in year 5, 6, 7, 8 by the taxpayers.
All right. Well, that's a good question, and one that I have the answer for. 10% of the cost of the Medicaid benefit. Still, the federal government is going to pay 90% of the cost of the Medicaid benefit, even in years to come. A small price to pay, I think, to make sure that everybody is insured. And there's a benefit to all of us insured people, because if more people are insured, more people are sharing the risk of the health benefits. And so that risk is now spread over a larger population. So you and I aren't paying, because those people are still getting the benefit. They're going into the emergency room. They're still getting some benefits. It's top dollar benefits, too. And you and I, the insured folks, we're paying for it by having our procedures cost more. So all procedures should go down if more people are insured. It really is a win-win for everybody, those who currently are insured and those who aren't.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Yeah, that was Marie from King of Prussia. I don't know. Do you think she... I think she's on board now. You know.
I think she was satisfied with that answer.
Yeah, I like that answer. Well, let me ask my guests. Was that a good answer?
It was a great answer.
Yeah. I mean, you know, let's look at the automobile market and automobile insurance. If half the people are insured, the people who aren't insured are definitely going to pay more, because they have to make up that difference for the uninsured people. If everybody's insured, then that risk is spread among a much larger group, and everybody's contributing to the system. So we want more people insured, not less, always, right?
If people don't sign up then for this Affordable Health Care Act, are they going to be fined?
How so? What do you mean by that, fined?
Well, I read in the paper today that if you don't sign up, or if you go without insurance and you don't sign up for anything, that you're possibly subjected to a fine.
Okay. In those states where the governor is rejecting the Medicaid expansion, and you go on to the health insurance exchange that is going to be set up by the federal government, and if you don't find anything really that suits your budget, you can opt to be exempt.
So by rejecting the $43 billion, you're saying that the governor is making sure that whoever doesn't sign up for it won't get fined?
Yes.
Well, the federal government made that law because it was aware that after
a side effect of the governor rejecting the money, a secondary benefit, is that folks get to reject it and not get fined.
Yeah, and for folks that fall outside of that category, if health insurance costs you more than 8% of your income, you would automatically be exempt. And there's religious exemptions. There's also an exemption if you go without insurance for, you know, 3 months or less, you won't have to pay a fine. So if you lose your job, you lose your coverage. You have some time to figure out what to do before you face a penalty.
Okay.
All right, folks. That's the health care law in all of its ugliness. You know, people talk about January 1 being some sort of an important date. There are certainly some benefits that will come your way. Monica, you mentioned them, you know, the pre-existing condition and things of that nature. Things will change January 1 for sure. But there's going to be a lot of people who aren't insured today who will not be insured then. And it's not going to be some panacea or magic pill that on January 1, the Commonwealth is insured. It just isn't happening that way. It isn't happening that way primarily because our governor has chosen to kick the federal government to the curb. And you know what? Maybe election time, that'll become an issue. The ballot box is powerful.
Yes, and I just want to clarify, because this is a big misperception that's put out there in the media. If your governor rejects the Medicaid expansion, you still get health insurance. You just go on to healthcare.gov. Those states where the governor rejects the Medicaid expansion, the federal government is stepping in and setting up the health insurance exchanges. So you can still apply and get your affordable health care. So it doesn't matter if Tom Corbett is opposed. You will still get health insurance and you can still enroll on October 1st.
And they have to call that 1-800 number for that?
Yes, 800-318-2596 if calling by telephone is easy, or you can log, you can enroll online at healthcare.gov.
And you can do that starting Tuesday, right? October the 1st.
Starting Tuesday, but if you call the toll-free number now, they are available to answer any questions that you might have in anticipation.
So that still gives you plenty of time. You can start calling from now, get some information, and then make a decision.
Yes, and if you are for Medicaid expansion, if you need health insurance under Medicaid, I would have to say move to Jersey, Delaware, or vote, and we have to get Tom Corbett out of office.
All right. There you go. I want to thank our guests, Renee Amore. Thank you very much for joining Court Radio. And Beverly McAreth, our Commonwealth Secretary of Public Welfare. Thank you. I want to thank Antoinette Krause, who was here early and stayed throughout the show. Antoinette, thanks for joining Court Radio. It's my pleasure. All right, folks, we're out of time, unfortunately. We'll see you next Sunday, same time, same place.